Hello and welcome to this week's Byrilla News. This week, the US military build-up in the Middle East continued in what President Trump has described as an armada heading towards Iran. The most notable movement is the US carrier Strike Group 3, headed by the aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln, alongside three guided missile destroyers, and the carrier wing with squadrons of FA-18E Super Hornet fighters, F-35C Lightning II fighters, and the EA-18G Growler electronic warfare jets. However, the strike group is but the tip of the iceberg when you consider the other military movements in the region. What is also telling is which capabilities have been deployed. They are the exact facilities that the US would need to counteract any of the response options Iran would have should the US decide to strike. The military options that Iran broadly seem to have are the ballistic missile strikes that they could do on US forces and allies such as Israel in the region. These could be missile attacks on Israel, similar to what we saw during the 12-day war last June, and also the attack on the Al Udeid airbase in Qatar, but likely on a much larger scale than the attack that they did on that airbase last June. Another option would be attacks by their proxies on US interests. Now, while these proxies are but a shadow of their former selves, the Houthis could still cause some disruption in the Red Sea. They could also activate so-called sleeper cells that are rumoured to exist in the West. Iran could seek to disrupt shipping, particularly in the Straits of Hormuz. In the 1980s, Iran attempted to mine the strait, and they could attempt to do so again. Between 20 and 30% of the world's oil passes through the strait, and so it would cause a substantial spike in oil prices worldwide. Iran could also try and attack Gulf energy infrastructure, again causing a spike in world oil prices. And based on the equipment the US is sending to the region, they appear to be seriously preparing for each of these responses. According to CNN, the US has deployed various air defense systems, including both Patriot missile systems, which appeared at Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar, and also the THAAD system. These could be used to protect US forces and bases in the region, as well as their allies like Israel, and also the energy infrastructure that is in the Gulf. In Bahrain, they have three combat ships stationed, which are capable of minesweeping, which could be used if Iran attempted to mine the Straits of Hormuz again. The US clearly wants to be prepared should Iran throw everything they have at them in the coming days and weeks. For offensive action, the Americans have brought in the US carrier Abraham Lincoln. They've brought in guided missile ships as well with it, and it's believed to be accompanied by submarines which carry Tomahawk missiles. Also, an E-11A jet, which is used normally for coordinating large and complex operations, arrived again at the Qatar airbase Al Udeid, which would not be required if the Americans were planning a small strike, a precise limited strike like Operation Midnight Hammer last June. Variants of the RC-135 reconnaissance planes, which are also capable of detecting radioactive debris, which would be needed should nuclear sites be attacked in Iran, have also appeared at the airbase. F-35 fifth generation fighters have also crossed the Atlantic, being spotted in Portugal, again likely on their way to the Middle East along with their air refuelers. Transport planes have been making continual deliveries to the region, with cargoes unknown. And all of this is just the visible build-up that we know about. There is likely so much more going on behind the scenes. And so the question that is in everyone's mind is whether this is just a context that Donald Trump is building to prepare for serious negotiations with Iran, or whether the United States is about to launch a major attack on the Iranian government. And so how do we get here? Well, since the Iranian Revolution in 1979, Iran and the United States have been arch enemies. This began with a hostage crisis in 1979, when 52 Americans from the United States Embassy were held hostage for 444 days. The US then backed the Iraqis against Iran in the Iraq-Iran War in the 1980s, and Iran has been responsible for supporting terrorist organizations, and more recently, their nuclear and missile program, and the axis of resistance that they have built, or the axis of evil, as some call it, which are proxy forces which surround Israel in Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, and of course Gaza. Prior to October 7th, 2023, Iran indirectly controlled the largest non-governmental army in the world, which is Hezbollah in Lebanon. They controlled the Syrian government in many ways. They controlled the proxies in Iran, the Houthis, who rule most of Yemen, and also Hamas, which controlled the Gaza Strip. The US has many scores to settle with Iran, but particularly with the threat posed by its proxy network. And there's never been a time when it would be as easy as it is now to settle those scores. Iran's actions have posed an even more acute threat to Israel. It is difficult to appreciate how much Iran's government is focused on the destruction of Israel. It's difficult to overstate this. Iran has repeatedly stated their aim to wipe Israel off the map going back decades. They have sponsored conferences promoting a world without Zionism. They have also promoted conferences about Holocaust denial. In 2017, a digital clock was unveiled in Palestine Square. It's called the Palestine Square Countdown Clock. And this clock was programmed to count down 8,411 days, which was the time to the end of the timeline given by Ali Khamenei in 2015 when he stated that Israel will not exist in 25 years. This clock ticks down to September 2040, Iran's target date for the destruction of the Jewish state. Iran hasn't limited this aim to rhetoric either. Iran's proxy network surrounding Israel has surrounded Israel with missiles. Hezbollah alone was estimated to have up to 120,000 missiles targeting Israel. And of course, Hamas and the Houthis had many more on top of that. For years, they have had the potential to rain down on the Israeli population missiles in great numbers. And of course, a more existential threat of Iran's nuclear program, which, if completed, could indeed wipe Israel off the map. The Iranian threat, with their obsession with the destruction of Israel, backed with their proxies and their nuclear program, makes the idea of peace in Israel an impossibility. For this was the situation prior to October the 7th, 2023. It's generally believed that the attack that surprised Israel on that day also took Iran by surprise as well. Iran had been coordinating an attack on Israel with its proxies, but it's believed that for some reason Sinwar made the decision to launch Hamas's part of that attack alone. It may be that he was frustrated by Iran's timeline and believed that they would be forced to join in should he choose to attack Israel alone. However, this is not what happened. Despite Israel being caught by surprise and humiliated in the first few days of the war, only token attacks were made by Hezbollah and the Houthis, with Iran not getting involved at all. Iran and each of the proxies was given the choice of joining a war that they were not prepared for, or watch helplessly as Hamas was destroyed by Israel, which is what they ended up doing. This then continued with the destruction of Hezbollah in September 2024, when again the same calculation had to be made. Again, Iran decided to sit on the sidelines rather than risk a war with Israel. Then again, with the Houthis, they too were crippled without Iran firing as much as a shot. Only when Iran was directly attacked did they engage militarily with Israel, once in April 2024 and again in October 2024. By the time Trump came to power in January of 2025, Iran no longer had any proxies that offered any real defence at all. In June 2025, Israel attacked Iran, destroying its air force and air defences. Within hours, Israel had full control of the skies over Iran, flying mission after mission against targets throughout the country, including Tehran, without losing a single manned aircraft and having just three unmanned drones shot down during the entire conflict. Now, should Israel have launched such an attack any time before October the 7th, 2023, Israel would have immediately been under attack by the entire proxy network simultaneously. Israel would be facing rockets from Gaza, missiles from Hezbollah, missiles from the Houthis, and of course the response from Iran, all at the same time. Now, in the way this war went, Israel humiliated Iran's government and set their nuclear program back. Now, the fallout of the war with Iran was a loss of respect in the eyes of their own people, many of them seeing for themselves the futility of the number one aim of the government, the destruction of the State of Israel, and also a further weakening of the Iranian economy. American sanctions have crippled the economy of Iran for decades, with the situation worsening since Trump first came into office in 2017 and adopting the maximum pressure approach. Inflation has been chronic since then, at around 30%. In 2025, the inflation rate spiked further, with the collapse of the Iranian rial on the currency markets. In 2017, you could get 60,000 rials to the dollar. By 2024, it was 767,000. But by the end of 2025, it was 1.4 million, halving in value in little over a year. And it's still dropping now, and it's currently trading at around 1.5 million to the US dollar. Another crisis Iran has is a water crisis. Iran has been in a continual drought for 6 years now, with Iran experiencing the lowest rainfall in 50 years. Iran has supplied much of its water demand by exploiting aquifers, which, after having been used for many, many years, are now running dry. The groundwater level in some wells are now more than 100 meters below historical levels. To put it in context, in the 1960s, Iran's water supply per person was around 4,500 cubic meters per year. Now it is just 1,200 cubic meters per year, well below the water scarcity threshold of 1,700 cubic meters per year set by the UN. Cities like Tehran face severe rationing. Often, entire sections of the city are cut off from supply as there is not enough supply of water to supply the entire city all at one time. The Iranian government has publicly warned that Iran might have to evacuate the entire city of Tehran if the drought doesn't end soon, because the city's water supply could literally run out altogether. And of course, it's not just drinking water that is a problem, but it makes agriculture almost impossible. Farmers are unable to properly water their crops, leading to much lower yields at harvest. And so over the last few years, Iran has had to handle four distinct crises all at the same time. Firstly, the loss of all their proxies during the wars with Israel. Number two, their own war with Israel, where they have been humiliated. Number three, a collapse of their currency and their economy. And four, an acute water crisis. Four distinct crises, all at the same time. And in the last few weeks, a new crisis has appeared, which is in many ways a product of the other crises. It is a political crisis. First, it started with the market traders in Tehran's Grand Bazaar, and then it has spread throughout the country. Protests and riots throughout the country, calling for the end of the regime. The humiliation of the regime at the hands of Israel, along with economic hardship, has led to a loss of respect and fear in the Iranians throughout the country, and many took to the streets. It took the regime imposing a near-total internet blackout and reported massacres to end the unrest. The number who were killed in the crackdown is disputed, but even conservative estimates reach into the thousands, with some claiming as many as 30,000 people were killed in but a few days. The sheer number shows how determined the protesters and rioters were, as it seems likely that they must have continued to go out onto the streets despite seeing their fellow protesters mown down by gunfire. The Iranian regime at least appears to be on the brink of collapse. And so we come back to the US build-up in the region. Since 1979, there has not been a period as tempting as it is now for the United States to attempt to topple the regime. From the outside, it looks like it would just take one more push and that would be the final straw. The reality may be very different. We do not know. And we do not know whether President Trump, emboldened by the success he seems to have had in Venezuela, will attempt to give the regime that final push. We do not know whether, if he does, it will cause that regime to topple. What we do know is that Iran is in a crisis, and the current situation is not sustainable. Something in Iran has to give. Now, what we know from Bible prophecy is that at the end time, Israel will continue to exist and also will be at peace. And so as Bible believers, we can be confident, and we could be confident, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that the 2040 target that Iran has had to destroy Israel would fail. They would not succeed in destroying Israel. Israel is also described as dwelling safely. It says all of them. It doesn't say some of them. It says all of them. It's not those just in Tel Aviv, but all of them. And it even singles out the mountains of Israel, the West Bank, as being an area where God's people will be dwelling safely. It is described as the land of unwalled villages, at rest, that dwell safely, and having neither bars nor gates. Now, this situation simply could not come about while the political will to destroy Israel was so far is so firm in Tehran. And they also have the proxy network intact. It could not come about with Iran holding onto this obsession to destroy Israel and also having nuclear weapons. Israel cannot live in peace and safety without walls, bars and gates, while groups like Hamas and Hezbollah are funded specifically to attack Israel and are equipped by Iran to commit October the 7th style attacks on their communities. And so as Bible believers, the events over the last few years have not changed our views on what we expect to happen in Iran. We have known for many years that there must be dramatic change in Iran for the peace described in Ezekiel 38 to come about. Now, while this is said, we do not expect Iran to become an ally of Israel either. The Shah of Israel, the Shah of Iran that was in power until 1979, he was a great friend of Israel. He made Iran an ally of Israel. But when he fell in 1979, Iran turned from being an ally and became an enemy, as it is today. Now, his son, who some believe might take over if the regime does fall, he has promised to become a friend of Israel again, and to make Iran into an ally of Israel. Now, should this happen, we can expect it to be short-lived, because we know from Ezekiel 38 that Iran, otherwise known as Persia, is one of those nations that comes against Israel with the Gogian Confederacy. We see that at the time of the end, Iran is hostile to Israel, but is not a threat to Israel by itself. Destroying Israel is no longer the government's primary goal, but Iran instead is a small part of an attacking force against Israel. And so as Bible believers, we shouldn't expect Iran to change its views on Israel, but we should maybe expect it to see a defanged Iran, not an allied Iran. Now, whether America is about to attack Iran, we do not know. It may be that the weak position that Iran finds itself in eventually motivates it to abandon the obsession it has with destroying Israel and focus on internal matters, and perhaps we will see them make a deal with America. We do not know. We do not know the means, we only know the end. Israel will be at peace. It will have this feeling of not being threatened by war, near or far. The tragedy is that when that cry comes, that cry of peace and safety, the land will only enjoy that quietness for a short time, for that force that will come into the land to be pled with by God will come and bring war again to that land. Now, while we see these things happening in the world, we are comforted that these events herald a time of true peace and safety, when the Messiah of Israel, finally accepted by God's people, rules in peace from the city of peace, even Jerusalem. This has been Paul Barnes joining you for this week's Bible in the News.